Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. All right, this is the story of the children of Israel. They were now entering into the promised land. Well, they were in the promised land. Now, these are those children of the parents who did not go in. You remember, God left them to perish in the wilderness. But these are those 20 and under children, and with Joshua and Caleb. Now, these are God's people. So now, they're better than their parents were, surely. They're much better. God approved of them, and now they're sinners just like their parents, just like them. Well, look at chapter 5, verse 31. It says, the last line there, verse 31, says, the land had rest for 40 years. 40 years. Now, 40 years they were in the land and had some amount of rest. Some rest. Now they had gone through some tribulation, and now they're about to go through more. And our Lord tells us this, that we must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of heaven. But much of their troubles were attributed to this. Chapter 6, verse 1. Look at it. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Now these are children of those that perished. They did evil. What did they do? It doesn't say, does it? Turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 8. I think I know because I've done it. Deuteronomy chapter 8. It does not say what the evil is that they did, but knowing myself, they had 40 years of rest, relative rest. I think I know what it was. 40 years of peace and prosperity. Look at it here in Deuteronomy verse chapter 8, verse 7. It says, the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, fountains, depths, spring out of valleys and hills. Verse 11, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. Right there it is. Look at it. Verse 12, lest when thou hast eaten and are full and built goodly houses and dwelt therein, your herds and flocks multiply, silver and gold. Verse 14, your heart be lifted up, you forget the Lord thy God. I think that's what they did. Is there any doubt in your mind? That's what we all do. Verse 20, he says, as a nation which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall you perish, because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. Well, their parents did perish. Well, these children entered in, though. But they turned out to be no better than their parents, really. And this world, I know myself, this world, the things of the world, will make us forget God. And then troubles come. Troubles come. And it says in verse 6, Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. The world, though we may be rich and increased with goods, yet this world will make us poor toward God. Won't it? It sure will. We get caught up in it, like them. And then it says in verse 6, and they cried unto the Lord. You can read for yourself sometimes, Psalm 107. He's talking about the mess that they got in. And every time they cried unto the Lord. And that's my biography, Psalm 107. My autobiography. They cried unto the Lord. And the Lord, whose mercy endureth forever, whose covenant is sure, He answers. Well, how? Go back to Judges now. How does the Lord answer? How does the Lord answer us? One way. All our help, all our hope, all our strength, all our comfort, I mean A-double-S, all our peace comes from God's Word. And that, the Gospel. All our peace, all our hope, all our help, all our strength, all our courage, all our comfort, all our consolation, all our help, A-double-L, cometh from the Gospel. Now, we've heard this, but as I was saying to Brother John, God's Word really never means a thing till you need it. And we're going to find out, if we haven't already, that all our hope, all our help, all our strength, all our knowledge, all our help comes from the Gospel. Look at it, verse 8. The Lord sent a prophet. They cried, the Lord sent a prophet. And look at what He says. Here's the good news. He just repeats. All this prophet does is repeat what God has already done. That's all He does. Look at it. Verse 8. The Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt. You were in Egypt by my decree, by my purpose, according to my eternal purpose ordered before this world began. You ended up in Egypt. You know the story, don't you? Huh? You know the story about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob going and his son Joseph, you know, ascending the throne, Joseph dying, and the people were left. And you know the story. You know God's purpose and all that, don't you? Glorious, marvelous. I brought you up out. I put you in Egypt and I brought you up there. 400 years for my purpose. Everything about you I have ordered in all things from the very beginning. I brought you out of Egypt, look at it, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. Brought you forth out of the house of bondage. I delivered you, verse 9, out of the hand of the Egyptians. I brought you, you were in Egypt. You lived in Egypt, but you were not of Egypt. I delivered you. You were right there in Egypt, and I sent all the plagues to Egypt, but I spared you. I smote them, blindness, and all the diseases of Egypt. I'm Jehovah Rapha. I didn't smite you. I saved you from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage. I set you free. The truth sets us free. The Son sets us free indeed. Read on. And He said, and I drave them out, your foes, all them that oppressed you. Some of us were in religious bondage, didn't even know it. We said, I drave them out, brought you out and drove them out. Gave you their land. God said to these, through the prophet to these Israelites, He said, I gave you their land. I gave you a land that didn't belong to you, that you didn't deserve. You didn't deserve this. You didn't deserve any of this. But I gave it to you. Read on, verse 10. I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. I didn't say that to them. I didn't say to the world that I love them. I've kept it hidden from the wise and prudent. But I told you, I'm the Lord your God. Told you. And I said, fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But, God said, but we have not obeyed my voice. I'm guilty. We're all guilty. Under an oak which was in Ophrah, and that pertained unto Joash, the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress. And he was doing that, he's hiding it from the Midianites, from the enemies. He was making bread for God's people, and he's hiding it from the enemy. That sound familiar? God came to this man. God chose this man. A man chosen from among the people. Verse 12. Angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Do you know who this is talking about? Can you see it? Egypt doesn't see it. He could give this passage of Scripture to 1,000 people. They wouldn't. Do you see it, John? Who's this talking about? Gideon? Jesus Christ is who this mighty man of valor is, chosen of God. He's going to deliver the people as one man, like by himself. Because the Lord's with him. The Lord is with him. The Lord's going to send him. Now, no type is perfect. We're going to see this as a type of Christ, but no type is perfect. No man perfectly represents the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason God wrote a book with 1 million types in it. You see? Because not one type won't suffice. No one man. You know, there are many men that represent Christ in Scripture. Glorious types. Joseph, Daniel, men, David, but not David. No man can perfectly represent Christ, can it? Because Christ is perfect, and no man's perfect. Well, Gideon now, he's talking as a man here in this next verse. He says here, Gideon says here what all of us have said or will say at some point. Look at it. Verse 13. Gideon said unto the Lord, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? Where are all the miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us. We're delivered in the hands of Midianites. But you know, I did think of our Lord when he was hanging on that cross. I did think of him when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So in that, it does apply, doesn't it? Christ did say that. Now, he knew. Christ knew why, didn't he? He said that for our sake, didn't he? Christ said that on the cross for our sake. He knew why God had forsaken him, because he was me. He was my substitute. He was being made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of. We were accepted. He was rejected. We're accepted in the beloved. He's rejected because of us. We enter into the. We'll never be forsaken of God because Christ was forsaken of God, you see. And he cried. That's why he cried that, so that we would know. And Gideon cried this because, well, I'm glad he did. Because we're going to cry this if we haven't already. Where? Why is all this befalling us if the Lord be with us? I hear this world out here, this blasphemous world out here, this. So full of faith, you know. Like Psalm 73. They don't have troubles. They see miracles all the time. Where are the miracles? For us. Huh? I'm glad he cried this. Aren't you? We're going to see, God's going to show him the miracle of all miracles. The greatest miracle of all, that he does not show the world. They may see strong delusions and believe a lie. We're going to see the truth. Let's see this here. My Lord, why? 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 Well, now, Christ knew why, and Gideon knew why. Gideon knew why. Gideon was a man of God. He knew why. He just told us up here in verse 1 that the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Gideon knew that. If he was a righteous man, sure, he saw what was going on around him. He was like Lot and Sodom. He knew why. Lot knew why God was going to destroy Sodom, and Gideon knew why all this had happened to God's people. Now listen very carefully. Don't shut me out until about 5 minutes from now. Sin hath brought all the agony on the human race. All the agony that happens to this human race is because of sin. Sin, not sins. Understand me? Sin. God does not punish our sins. He said their sins and iniquity I remember no more. Didn't he say that, God? God does not punish his people because of their sins. You remember the story of when our Lord was telling about the Tower of Siloam? Were these men greater sinners? No. But sin, you see, sin brought into this world pain, suffering, sickness, death. Even though on those, and Romans tells us this, in chapter 5, chapter 7, even children, even those who have not sinned at the similitude of Adam's transgression. Remember that? Things befall us because sin is in this world. Stay with me. Our Lord said in the garden, he said, dying, you shall die. Didn't he? Dying, you shall die. And Adam walked out of that garden a little while later and saw his son laying dead on the ground. Was that God punishing Adam? No. Sin. Was God punishing Abel? Oh, no. Oh, no. He's going to punish Cain. Boy, he's going to punish Cain. Set a mark on him. But sin wrought all that. You see, sin wrought all that. We get sick because of sin. Sin's in this world. We get sick. We get sick because of sin. We die because of sin. Sin's in this world. We're going to die because of sin. Everybody in this room is going to die. Why? Because of sin. We suffer because of sin. We're going to live because of Christ. The world is going to die because of sin. You understand that? The world's going to die because of sins. We're going to live because of righteousness and not our own. Well, Gideon asked this question. If the Lord be with us, where's all his miracles? And now the Lord has, didn't he deliver? I read all this. Gideon said, we've read all this. We've heard of all this deliverance. Our parents have told us. Now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the enemy. I was immediately reminded of our Lord and Lazarus. Go over to John chapter 11. When I read this, I was immediately reminded of this. John 11, our Lord and Mary and Martha and Lazarus, the whole story, you know it well. But this reminded me of that. Gideon said, if you're with us, why did this happen? Well, Mary and Martha said that, didn't they? Huh? John 11, verse 5. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And all things work together for good to them that love and are loved. We love Him because He first loved us. All things. Now, He loved me. Right there's the key to that whole, His whole story. He loved them. It says right there, He loved. Named their name. Well, it says when He'd heard, therefore, that Lazarus was sick, well, He stayed right where He was for 2 days. Why? So He would die. Well, Mary and Martha now, their flesh, verse 17. The Lord came, verse 17, He found that He'd laid in the grave 4 days. Of course He did. That's where He put Him. That's where He put Him. You see, He intentionally stayed away. But this whole thing's working according to His purpose. Verse 21 says, Martha said, Lord, if You'd been here, my brother hadn't died. See that? That's what Gideon said to Him. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto Him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in Me shall never die. You believe this? Never die. Well, He did. No, He didn't. Well, He will. No, He won't. Oh, she said, I believe that Thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which is coming into the world. Well, down to verse 33. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, He groaned in the spirit. And I love this verse. It says He troubled Himself. He was troubled. Or He troubled Himself. And He said, where have you laid Him? He said unto Him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Wept. The unbelief. And what did we weep over? Go back to the Judges. We'll go back to the text. And it says in another place, He groaned again. They all the people said, could not this man? Said, oh, how he loved him. Yeah, he did. Well, could not this man who have raised him from the dead? And caused that he shouldn't die? Yeah, he surely could have. He's not going to get... You're going to get greater glory this way. And they groaned again. Well, the Lord wept because of unbelief. The Lord wept because of what sin had wrought on this world. He's not weeping over Lazarus. He's not weeping over Lazarus. He knows. He may be weeping, John. He's going to bring him back. Now, he came that Lazarus might have life. That's why Christ came into the world, to give Lazarus life. Not temporal, more abundant. Life more abundant. It won't end here, but more abundant. Yeah, there's some good things in this life. Yeah, there are. But life more abundant starts over there. Lazarus would die in a few years. Lazarus is going to die again. But Christ died that Lazarus might live forever. That's the miracle. This is the miracle of miracles, you see. This is the miracle of miracles. Our Lord raised him. And it was glorious and it was wonderful. And they were praising Him. They were thankful. Only for Him to die for them. But now our Lord went and died that Lazarus would never die. That he'd be raised forever, never to die again. In our text, sin has wrought all this, but Christ came to deliver us from the penalty of sin. Verse 14, the Lord looked upon him and said, "Go in this thy might, thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianite. Have not I sent thee?" He doesn't say, "Now you will try, you'll make a real effort if somebody helps you do this." He said, "Thou shalt. I sent you. You're going to go in the, you're going to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You're going to go." Verse 16, the Lord said unto him, "Surely I will be with thee. You're going to smite the Midianites as one man." You know, when it talks about children of Israel going into the promised land, it sounds like Joshua did it all. And it talks about, and Joshua led them into the promised land. One man against so many? Yep. That's exactly right. That's what the Scripture says our Lord Jesus Christ did, doesn't it? Huh? When He had by Himself purged our sins. And that wasn't a figure of speech. That's a fact. By Himself purged our sins. Sent of God. God was with Him. And He, as one man, smote our sin, our greatest enemy, our foe, and sat down, and He's expecting now. And I love that verse. It says He's expecting. He's not walking the floor, hoping this, hoping that, things out of His control. Oh, no. He fulfilled His purpose that God sent Him to, and He sat down. His work was finished, sent the Holy Spirit to round them all up for whom He died, and He's expecting. He said, "I know my thoughts towards you, thoughts of peace. I know your end, because I declare the end from the beginning." Huh? "I'm the author and I'm the finisher of your faith. I know it. And if you'll keep your mind on the end, you'll rest it. You'll have peace today." Well, in this picture, look at verses 19 through 21. Gideon went in and made ready a kid, and unleavened cakes and an ephah of flour. Flesh he put in a basket, put the broth in a pot, brought it out unto the angel of the Lord under the oak and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, "Take the flesh and the unleavened cake, lay them upon this rock." Just happened to be a rock there, Stan. And he laid it on a rock and poured out the broth on the rock, and he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of a staff. He had a staff in his hand, Stan. Put forth the staff in his hand and touched the flesh, the unleavened cake, the kid, that is the sacrifice, and the bread that was made. And there rose up fire out of the rock, consumed the flesh and the unleavened cake. The angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Parted out of his sight. Do you see Christ in all of this? Blessed are your eyes. Blessed are your eyes. Do you see Christ in all of this? Blessed are you. Christ is all and in all of this. Isn't it? Christ is the Lord, the angel of the Lord. Christ is Gideon. Christ is the sacrifice. Christ is the unleavened bread. Christ is the rock. Christ is all and in all. Well, verse 22, when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, well, because I've seen an angel of the Lord face to face, alas." Verse 23 and 4, and the Lord said unto him, "Peace unto thee. Fear not. Thou shalt not die, because you've seen me. You're not going to die. You're going to lead them." You understand that? "Because you've seen me. Because I've revealed myself to you. Because I've done all this. No, not far be it from dying." You're going to lead them. "Nobody's seen me. I'm showing myself to you. Man, you're not going to die. No, to the contrary. You're going to live, man. Because you've seen in the sacrifice. Verse 24, Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Shalom. Jehovah Shalom. The Lord send peace. And it's this way yet in Oprah and the Ebenezerite. Now,